Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH. This is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
And welcome in, everybody, to another edition of Sports Daily. It's a Tuesday, April 23rd. Glad to be here with you as we continue to count down to the NFL draft. Plenty on that today. Plenty on some Major League Baseball as the Royals drop the opener there. We've got big news for the Kansas City Chiefs that we'll get into. A big day for you as well, as we've got a giveaway for you, some HTO tea and coffee. We'll do that a little later in the show. Glad to be able to do that for you. We've got programming coming up tonight to tell you about all kinds of good stuff. Jacob Albrecht here, Tommy Kester. Alongside me, Chad Chambers is driving, manning that IHOP hotline at 869-1240. You can get in touch with the program on that IHOP hotline. You can call in. We'll put you on the air, let you know. Let us know what you're thinking about. You can also leave us your comments on our video streams. You'll find those video streams on Facebook, on YouTube, on X. Just search KFH, Sports Daily KFH, and you can find all that. Welcome in, everybody. Tommy, how are you this morning?
I'm good. Happy Tuesday. A lot to get to, as always, on the show today. Like, what, 48 hours? A little over 48 hours away from the NFL draft. So that's another big storyline. Just a lot to talk about today.
Yeah, the Broncos make a quarterback move that we can sort of get into a little bit. There's all kinds of good stuff today. Everything, though, is really going to focus on the draft. Tyreek Hill in the news a little bit. It has to do with his number and Isaiah Pacheco and, you know, all kinds of good stuff. Look, the draft is an amazing phenomenon, Tommy, because it takes over everything in the sports world. You know, like, we have the NBA playoffs beginning, we have Major League Baseball kind of hitting its stride, but for this time, it's all about the draft. And it is wild to imagine that a draft has become this must-see TV spectacle. I think it's one of the great achievements, I guess you could call it, or whatever, of, like, broadcast television. The fact that it has become this television event that we can't miss is pretty wild. It's pretty wild. And, the other sports try to do it. We saw the WNBA draft with Caitlin Clark get, you know, record ratings for it. But, you know, the OG was this NFL draft. And I don't think any of the other sports get anywhere near the drama and intrigue of this. I don't know whose brainchild this all is. It's incredible. It's one of the most amazing things ever. And I'm a junkie for it. I love the draft. I don't follow it nearly as closely leading up to as I used to as far as the players go. But the event itself, now they move it around, they do all these things. It's awesome. It's so exciting. I'm so excited about the draft coming up.
Remember last year when it was in Kansas City and how much fun that was to watch and just be able to experience all of that, and just, of course, everybody converging on Kansas City for that. You know, there's a reason why it's gone to a three-day spectacle. And, you know, people just dive into it and they eat it up, and there's a lot of money to be made, you know, on the NFL draft, whether we're talking about wagering or we're talking about analysis or whatever. It's definitely something that, you know, outside of maybe the first couple of picks, usually it's hard to point at one player being drafted that can absolutely change the fortunes of a franchise forever outside of a couple of picks each year. But that's what makes the intrigue so high. That's what makes people lock in, especially if you've been a long-suffering fan of a franchise that's been bad for a long time. Your hopes and dreams often each year are in the NFL draft, and that your team will figure it out and draft that guy that's going to turn things around for you.
Just talking to Brandon Zinner, colleague over at K-Witch, who has covered the Chiefs so closely forever, but it is, you know, by trade a Vikings fan. And that was him. He's like, I'm going to turn everything off. I'm going to try to enjoy this because for the first time in forever, we're picking up. It's probably going to be a quarterback. Like, there's a lot of intrigue around that team. And yeah, that's it for a lot of teams. Like, you don't get this, like the Bears, right? They haven't had a quarterback in forever, and they think they're going to get one here. They're confident, and they know who's even going to be picked. But Bears fans are going to be totally locked in on this thing. If you go up and down the board, what we have not had in the draft, I don't remember the last time we had any question at the top of this thing. It's been a while since we've come in and not known who the first pick was going to be well in advance. So that would be, you know, something would be nice to get back to. The other thing now is you do almost have to detach yourself if you're going to watch it, because social media has sort of ruined it, right? Like, it spoils picks all the time, and you don't even want it to, right? I get it. Everybody's doing their job, but like, it is a better experience if you take it in on television instead of knowing who's going to be picked before they're picked, the surprise factor of it. So I try to do the same thing, and I think you guys probably know me well enough to know, and I'm not like constantly on there. I'm not tracking things. I see things later, but it is much better without getting your picks spoiled. When that first started, it drove me nuts when you know, the picks would get. So I have to like get out of it, but it's hard because sometimes you want to go to social media right for the reaction of a pick. You know, that's what we do. We want the reaction. I need to see what people are thinking about this. And then you get the next one spoiled. So it's a little more challenging to watch it probably than it used to be.
I think you have to credit ESPN, though. I mean, I know that in the advent of social
100%.
Media, it's become tougher. But man, like, they took it to the next level, and over the years has made it into this major spectacle, and just, you know, the intrigue and interest around it, just, I feel like it grows year in and year out. And it's funny because, you know, if you look back, and I thought about this yesterday in the middle of our conversation about what, you know, like the Patriots are going to do at pick number 3. And, you know, we always have all of this discussion, and everybody does, about what the top teams are going to do at the top of the draft and trading up and trading down and all of that. It's funny because while the draft is still incredibly important, it's not as important as it was before free agency. You know, before free agency,
well,
you drafted
sure,
players, and like, unless there was a trade, you had that player for their entire career for the most part. You know, and so teams absolutely leaned on their draft picks for forever. I mean, for the foreseeable future. In the world of free agency, I'm not saying that it drops the importance of the draft, but what I'm saying is that teams have other ways to be able to build up a roster and to be able to get better, as opposed to just drafting a player at the top of the draft. And so it's funny that in spite of where football has gone in the last 30 years, we've got the draft continuing to be probably the biggest thing, well, definitely the biggest thing in the offseason. I think on top of it, too, you know, you've got a bunch of fans of the NFL, and I'm one of them, and you're one of them, that are craving NFL content now that the season is done.
Yeah.
And this is the best way to kind of get that, you know, and to hold you over until the start of the regular season.
I do think, you know, I think the draft sort of stands on its own. On the NFL, like, when we get to training camps and stuff, I think that's more of we're like fiending for the NFL. I really do think the draft has become this standalone phenomenon. And I don't know if it was the NFL's brainchild to do that. I don't know if it was ESPN's brainchild. In all the great things ESPN has done in, you know, in forever, this may be at the top of the list based on, like, you know, a lot of the time their greatness has come just, you know, you're following games and events and, you know, whether it's PTI and sort of this invention of, you know, hot takes and sports talk, whatever that is, like that would be one of them. You know, Sports Center's obviously at the very top of the list. Man, the NFL draft is right there with anything. And if you think about like all their personalities, Mel Kiper is as probably valuable a commodity and personality to the growth of that network as anybody else. This draft is it was kind of like created out of nothing, like the television event of it anyway. It's wild that it did that. And they made a movie out of it. And not just a movie, like a Kevin Costner movie.
And
that's
it's a
how
great
fascinated
movie.
We're
I know a lot of people don't like it. I love it. It's one of those movies.
Fine, yeah.
One of those movies I don't care when it's on. If I'm flipping through and it's on, I'm going to stop and I'm going to watch the rest of it. Love that movie.
So we're big draft guys. We'll continue to follow it. And it's so funny too. I've said this before. Like I used to be able to tell you all the players for probably four or five rounds. Knew about the players. Was doing research. And this was before the internet, right? You'd get like a newspaper and read up on prospects, and you know all the publications would put their stuff out. I don't do that anymore. And I still love it just as much. Like, Tommy, we'll get out of the first round, and most of the players, I'm not going to know who they are. I mean, I will. I shouldn't say that. I'll know who they are, but like, I don't have a strong take about them, and it's still just as fascinating to me. The whole thing. I just love it. And it is, I really do think this is going to be a high drama year for this NFL draft. I went back yesterday to start a look at some of these players, Tommy, and just see like real good football people that I generally go to consume in-season stuff and like scouting and all that stuff to try to see, you know, some prospect ideas. I'm gonna tell you, quarterbacks, man, like we're I don't want to say we're taking it for granted, but these quarterbacks are grading high for evaluators, right? Like real high. I read one yesterday that had J.J. McCarthy as the best quarterback prospect in this class and like really high-end type prospect. And I think it's because there's four or five of them we've maybe sort of thought of. It's almost like it's knocked them down, but we forget like this is and has been considered. We'd known this was coming for 3 years, that this was going to be one of the more talented quarterback classes. And we have it. And there's a chance that all of these guys are really good, which is also very interesting to see who lands where. But it'll be great. The Chiefs will be there. And then the news, Tommy, of yesterday, we know that the brainchild of the Chiefs. And I do think this is important for the draft. The Chiefs basically lock up everybody through the end of the decade. Mark Donovan, Brett Veach, Andy Reid. Clark Hunt came in, so, you know, the high-end decision makers for the on-field product of the Kansas City Chiefs, Veach, Donovan, Reid, are all locked in now to the end of the decade. That's important, I think, because there's absolutely no pressure now to take a big swing or a big risk in this draft, right? If you know that you're not going to shoot yourself in the foot down the road by doing something wild and crazy here, I think you have the ability to be more aggressive. And that's not, like, think about that. Like, you have to, as an executive in the NFL, as much turnover as there is, decisions, I think, if we're being honest, are made all the time that are protecting the short term and protecting jobs versus, you know, maybe the best thing long term. And so to have that continuity, not only is it a big advantage for the Chiefs, and we'll get into that piece of it, but as it relates to the draft, that's a big deal. And I think it makes it more likely for them to take some big risks because they know, like, it doesn't matter. If they fail, it's not like they're going to lose their job. If they fail, it'll be fine.
One of the things I really am happy about with that news yesterday is that, I mean, obviously it's well, well, well deserved by all three of those guys, but everybody focuses, and rightfully so, on Andy Reid and Brett Veach. I'm glad Mark Donovan got some love as well. He's been with the franchise since 2009, And if you think back to 2009, you think about the Todd Haley years, you think about the Romeo Crennel years, you think about how bad they were, how terrible they were. You know, got to a point to where, you know, he joined in 2009 and then he became the president in 2011. And there was a lot of turmoil and there's been a lot of transition in his 15 years with the organization. You don't hear about Mark Donovan a whole lot because, you know, he a lot of times I think stays away from the on-the-field decision-making and kind of leaves that up to Veach and Reed. And I think that's really helpful. But so many different things, you know, that he's been a part of and a major driving force on with the organization as a whole. And to me, when you're announcing that extension alongside Veach and Reed, I know he's the president of the team, but he's the least visible out of the three. I think it shows that he's essential to this success and what they're building as a dynasty in Kansas City. So I was happy to see that. You know, like I mentioned, I don't think he gets a lot of love. People kind of focus on, even if you want to go above Reed and Veach, a lot of people focus on Clark Hunt and his family. Mark Donovan's in there right there too, you know, and he's been a crucial part of the success they've had.
He's about to have his hands full, Tommy. Like that part's important, I think, organizationally for the Chiefs, because they're about to have to make a big decision on a stadium, and he's going to be a big part of that. Like maybe the biggest part of that, I think, outside of Clark Hunt. A lot of that's going to come down to Mark Donovan. He's going to be at least a front facing.
Yep.
I don't know how to rank it in with what Veach and Reed are responsible for, but it's important. And for the organization, it's really important. I don't know how much it impacts, you know, one way or the other, the things that happen on the field. I don't imagine. I mean, maybe on contract negotiations, I suppose, but I don't imagine Mark Donovan gets into Andy Reid and Brett Veach's business too much that often, right? Like, I think that's kind of a separate thing, but it's still important for the organization because now we're going to see a whole lot of Mark Donovan because they're going to, whatever it is that happens with the stadium, he's going to be at the front of it. He's going to be at the face of it. Like he will be the mouthpiece, I think, for, you know, the team on it. So, you know, having him there is obviously important. I think for fans, the other two are the ones you get excited for, right? You get excited that Andy Reid now looks like he may have a chance at the coaching record. The fact that Andy Reid would take that extension should, I think, end any discussion on whether he has any interest in retiring. I don't think that he does, clearly. You just don't see general managers stick around for that long in the NFL. They just don't. And what would that put? When did Brett Veach start that job? He got the job, what, in 20? Let me just take a look here. If he goes through 2029.
He's been with the team since 2013. But he's
got
been
the
GM
job
since
in
2017.
So he would be, if he goes out the end of this contract, he will have had the job for 13 years. You know, and that's just, you know, he could, of course, sign another extension at that point. Yep. That's a long time for an NFL GM.
And what people don't remember, and I didn't know this until recently, that he started his career with the Eagles and Andy Reid. He was a scout for them. He was an intern. Yep. You know, and so he's been with Andy Reid for a long time, followed him to Kansas City. There's that continuity there that, you know, goes back 20 years between those two guys. Every time I look at Brett Veach, you know, he's 46. He looks younger than that, I think. And so I always like think he's younger than what he actually is. He's been around for a long time and he's been with Andy Reid since he was in his mid 20s, you know, and so they've been able to build that and grow that and, you know, keep that going, you know, long term, which has been, you know, really absolutely important. He spent, and, you know, going back to Mark Donovan too, you know, he spent time with the Eagles also. He was with the Eagles in the mid 2000s, Mark Donovan did. So all three of those guys, you know, have quite a bit of familiarity with each other and have worked together for a long time too.
And the wildest thing of all of it, it's always got to be a perfect storm in the NFL. But if we want to circle back to the draft and you want to talk about the importance of getting quarterback right, is Andy Reid still the coach of the Chiefs if they don't have the Patrick Mahomes decision? If Brett Veach, if they don't evaluate him that way and go up and get him, do any of these guys still have their jobs? I don't know. I think that's a stretch, probably. Because Alex Smith wouldn't still be playing, so what do you do, right, at that point? It is fascinating to me to think about how much Patrick Mahomes impacts in the community, on his team. It's wild. Like, these three guys, like, everybody looks smarter because he's under center. Now, again, it's a perfect storm, and I'm not taking it away because it is a perfect storm for Patrick Mahomes, too, to have Andy Reid, right? And it's been a perfect storm for Brett Veach to be able to build around him and knows, you know, the things to do for him better than anybody. So it's wild. A couple comments here. Jason on our video stream says he thinks it'll be an historic year for trades in round one. He calls it the over-under 9.5 round one
trades. In round
trades.
One?
I would say go under on
round one.
Round one, that would be a lot. But it will be a lot. I will agree with Jason on this. I would not be surprised at all if there is a record for trades set. I'm telling you, these teams all want to trade down. It's like the new trendy hot button thing to do. Just why, again, why I think there's a chance to zig when they're zagging. But I think a lot of teams are going to want to trade down. So, yeah, maybe an historic year for trades. I don't think they're going to get to 10 trades, though, in the first round, every three picks. That would be that would be pretty wild. Ken, you know, cue the Debbie Downer music, says, feeling better about my life after listening to all this fawning over watching some names announced. Yawn. Ken would like us to talk about the Kansas City Royals 24 hours a day,
get
7 days
board,
a week.
Get on board, Ken. Come on, man.
And we appreciate that, Ken, and we will talk about the Royals in just a little bit. But it's getting close to draft day. Chiefs have some big decisions to make, and they make some big, big, big front office commitments, which seem like no-brainers, right? No surprise. Speaking of the Chiefs, Tyreek Hill in the news a couple of times here. I don't think it's anything bad. I do think it's sort of interesting. One thing I'll say about Tyreek Hill, he's brutally honest. He's honest. His whatever, if it's a podcast, like, it's interesting because he just is very honest about everything. We'll talk about what he's in the news for here a couple of times when we return. It's all Brockton Caster. It's Sports Daily. IHOP hotline's open, 869-1240. Don't go away. Brock Tommy Caster here. Interesting news. Nah, it's fine with Tyreek Hill coming up. So yesterday, I don't know when he said it. Yesterday is when I saw it. Tyreek Hill was asked about the number 10, and he was tipping his cap to Isaiah Pacheco a little bit on the number 10, but he did admit that it kind of hurt his feelings a little bit that they gave Pacheco number 10. I will say this. I get it. I appreciate his honesty there. I don't know if there was any intent there from the Chiefs. It is a little strange that a running back, and maybe it's as simple as Pacheco just liked the number 10 and they were like, okay, you can have it. But it's a little strange that after he left, they immediately give somebody the number 10. I don't think he was complaining about it. I think he was just being, well, yeah, for sure. But I don't think he was trying to make it a big deal. I think he was just being honest. He was like, yeah, that kind of hurt my feelings a little bit. You know, I was number 10 there, and they immediately give it. But I don't know if Pacheco wanted 10 or if they were like, you should wear number 10. Because it's not like that was it wasn't a bad breakup between the Chiefs and Tyreek Hill. It was as good a breakup as you could possibly have.
Yeah, and I absolutely have, you know, respect and love for Tyreek Hill and what he did in Kansas City, for sure. But I don't know if there's another player in the NFL that talks more about his former team than Tyreek Hill does about the Chiefs. And I think it's to the point now where it doesn't matter what podcast he's doing, what show he's on, doesn't matter. They're going to ask him about the Chiefs because they know he's going to answer the question because he is brutally honest. But man, like, I'm at the point now, like, if I were him, I would just be like, nah, look, I'm done. I'm focused on Miami. Like, there's no reason for me to talk about the Chiefs. No reason for me to answer any questions about the Chiefs. They're my former team. I got love for them. I love Andy Reid, love Patrick Mahomes, love all of them. I'm not interested in talking about them, you know, right now. But every time, every single time, He's talking about the Chiefs. He's asked the question, but he's talking about them. There's nobody that talks more. I get it, but you don't have to answer. And I'm not saying his answer was bad. I'm just saying.
I think it was like on a podcast or all something.
All I'm saying is that, like, there comes a point where you're like, dude, move on. Move on.
He never will. There are times all the time. He's never going to replicate that time in his career. For a lot of reasons, right? One, it was a Super Bowl. You were playing with Mahomes. You had your revelation there. Now everybody expects this out of him. It'll never be the same. It's that way for a lot of us, right? That first job and, the people you came up with and all that stuff. It hits a little different. I think I believe this was just on his own podcast and he just to talk about anything. Including the other thing that came out that I thought was pretty funny is he told the story of how he got called out by Mike McDaniel after L'Jarius Sneed just sort of owned him a little bit. He said he called him out and basically said, what do we pay you in the game? Dropping MFers, what do we pay you all this money for? I love that. And Tyreek Hill said he loved it too. He's like, that response to that. And that's the thing, I think sometimes people get their feelings hurt when they hear mic'd up. You got to understand how these dudes are wired and how they talk to each other. And it's not that odd. And it really isn't that odd if you relate it either to your own. If you're trying to get fired up and you really have a solid and close relationship with somebody, there are a lot of things you can say to them that you would absolutely not say to other people. And it's fine. And I love that inside baseball kind of stuff when you hear about those stories that are happening because you don't see them. Another thing, we talked about the draft, a thing the NFL does well. Another thing it does well, man, NFL films. It's a big reason why it is as popular as it is because they do take us inside that stuff. They've never shied away from that stuff. And so to hear that was kind of cool. But yeah, Tyreek Hill in the news a little bit. The Chiefs, Tommy, some would say still trying to replace Tyreek Hill. I don't know that he's replaceable. We go back to that age-old question. Brett Veach last week sure didn't make any bones about the possibility of going up to get a receiver. I don't know if they're playing mind games or what they're doing. They're not shying away from that possibility. And so it had me sort of wondering, even if Rashi Rice's off-the-field situation wasn't lingering, how prone to an early wide receiver do you think the Chiefs would be here? Is there room? And maybe this is, and here's what it has me really thinking about, is life after Travis Kelce. And I haven't really thought about this way when receiver has come up. Travis Kelce's not, his value in production on this team, whenever it is that he decides to be done, is not going to be replaced by a tight end. And you're talking about an organization that's had maybe the two of the three greatest, probably, tight ends of all time. Tony Gonzalez and Travis Kelce. The other would be Gronk, I think, for most people. But you've had those two. So you have, even with this rich history of tight ends, whenever he's done, it's not going to be a tight end that replaces what he does and his value. And that does have me wondering now a little bit, even if Rice was not to miss any games, how much value, even with Hollywood Brown there, right? How much value would there be to take a swing at one of these blue chippers? Now, you'd have to trade way up to have a shot at any of those three. Neighbors, Adunze, Marvin Harrison Jr. We're talking probably top 10, I would bet. I don't think any of those three is sliding out of the top 10. And that's a lot. I don't know, but it is interesting that they're not shying away from that possibility.
Well, I do think that if they take a wide receiver in round number one, whether they stay at 32 or they trade up to go get somebody else, I think that when they do that, that will tell you, or if they do that, that will tell you a lot of different things. That will tell you how they feel, I think, about Wanya Morris at left tackle, if they think that Wanya Morris can be a starter at left tackle, at least for this season. And of course, they could always go out and sign a veteran left tackle like a Donovan Smith for another one-year deal if they wanted to. But if they go and they do that, I think that will tell you a couple different things. I think at the front end, you could say, well, maybe they didn't like any of the offensive tackle options that were available to them at the time that they were picking. But I think more than anything else, we know it's kind of a deep offensive tackle class as well as it is deep wide receiver class. I think it probably tells you that maybe they scout out Wanya Morris to be a viable starter at left tackle. He didn't get a ton of playing time last year. You know, he ended up starting a couple of games when Donovan Smith was out with injury. But really, we didn't get a chance to fully see what they thought of Wanya Morris, because the bottom line is that, you know, if they don't take a left tackle, let's say they don't sign a veteran, right? They don't sign a veteran left tackle, but they also don't take a left tackle with their first round pick. That would mean that they probably don't think that anybody on their draft board is an upgrade from Wanya Morris, who they drafted in the third round a year ago. So I think it's going to tell me more about what they think at left tackle if they take a wide receiver early in the first round.
Well, if they pick at 32, I don't think it really tells us anything. If they pick at 32, I don't think it tells us anything. I think they're just picking at that point. If they move up to take a wide receiver, I think it would tell us that they love that wide receiver, right? That means that that's somebody they really, really like. If they stand pat at 32, I don't know what it tells us about their overall thoughts on a player other than that's just the guy they like at that point.
But I also think that from a wide receiver perspective, if they do take a wide receiver in the first round, again, whether they stay at 32 or they trade up, I think it will be very important to pay attention to what kind of wide receiver that person is. If that wide receiver is a deep threat, then it probably tells you that the Chiefs are not super concerned about really the long-term ramifications of what's going on with Rashee Rice. If that wide receiver has similar skills as Rashee Rice, then that might tell you that they are concerned about his availability next season. So I do think that there are, you know, a couple of different ways to look at it. If they do go wide receiver in the first round, you'll want to pay very close attention to the kind of wide receiver that they're targeting. Because remember, they already got Hollywood Brown. You know, he's a deep threat kind of guy. You know, so do they go for another deep threat? You know, I a couple names that have been tossed around a lot, that Xavier Leggett from South Carolina, you know, is a guy that has kind of similar skills as Rashee Rice. You know, there are others, but do they go the route of like Xavier Worthy from Texas, who's a deep threat? You need to pay attention to that too if they end up going wide receiver in the first round.
Yeah, for sure. I don't think they need it. They don't need, like, from that wouldn't make sense, the Texas guy, right? If you're just taking it for speed because you got Hollywood Brown. I'm talking about
if you end up drafting a wide receiver that has a similar skill set to Rashee Rice. At that point, then you pay attention to, are they concerned about Rice's availability in the season?
Yeah, his skill set's pretty. He's kind of good at everything.
Well, he's a yak. I mean, he's a yards after catch guy.
Yeah.
So if you look at a receiver that is a yards after catch threat,
maybe.
And there are a few of them in the first round.
But I do think there is a possibility too. Yeah, that he's replacing Kelsey. Kelsey's a yak guy too in this offense. I really do think they would just have to love the player. And they would view this player as a superstar if they go that route. And to me, it still doesn't seem likely, right? It still seems like they would do what they've always done and take those guys a little bit later. I don't think outside of those big three, and there's a lot of good receivers in this class. I think there is a tier for sure, but I do think people generally like this receiver class. Just, you know, those top three are all potential game record type players. And I don't think they'll be in a position to get any of them, by the way. I think it's far more likely if they were able to move up that it would be into the range to get one of those tackles. But I do like the idea.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
If we see them move up, they're going to love that player, whoever it is, because they've always been perfectly content to just sort of chill at their spot and take somebody. If they move up, it tells us they're in love with the player. Different than taking Clyde Edwards-Helaire, taking Felix Anudike-Uzomah. You know, I think, though, if you look at those players, I think of the recent history, most people, and it's way too early on Anudike-Uzomah, but generally speaking, I think people would look at those and be like, that didn't really work out. But the reality is they were just willing to sort of swing on guys at that point because they didn't really, the risk level was low. If they move up, the risk level goes up some, I think. That tells you it's not just they're following their board, but they really love a player. And when they really love a player, Tommy, they've been pretty good when that happens, right? And Patrick Mahomes is the obvious example. So it's there. It's interesting. It's fascinating. And I still think it's going to be left tackle. I guess it could be receiver. They do have a need at corner. Like, that is an area of need for
them.
It
is, but then, you know, we haven't really seen them be active this offseason. Maybe they can attack it in the draft, but we haven't seen them be, you know, that active in the secondary so far this offseason. That tells me, and again, they could use a draft pick on a cornerback, and they probably will, I would imagine, at some point in the draft. I think they feel pretty good about Joshua Williams and Jalen Watson. I think they like them and the flashes that those two guys have shown alongside Trent McDuffie. So that may not be, you know, I don't think it's absolutely nearly as big of a priority as some of these other positions that we've talked about. Yeah, it's a downgrade in that unit because they don't have Legarius Sneed this coming season. But I think they feel pretty good about the guys that they currently have in house.
They do. I think they feel better about that than the other positions we've talked about. But again, if somebody's sitting there, like, it's probably worth thinking about. And when you're trying to play chess and not checkers, like, what if they could identify another great corner now, and then McDuffie's not a guy they'll have to pay down there because he's going to be even more expensive than Sneed was. They got a lot of options. It's a good problem to have. They got options here, so it's certainly a good problem. And we'll continue to look at it, and we'll continue to try and read up on some of these players a little bit between now and then. There are a lot of people chiming in, giving great perspective on some of these players. We'll do it. When we return, as we make our way forward, I should say, we'll talk a little Royals baseball, losers last night. You can watch our video stream on Facebook, on YouTube, and on X. Good stuff there. You can call in on the IHOP hotline, 869-1240. Don't go away. Sports Daily, coming right back. Welcome back to Sports Daily, everybody. Jacob Albrecht here alongside Tommy Caster. Glad to be with you. Mornings at KFH. Staff enjoys a great cup of coffee from Prairie Fire Coffee, getting us fueled up here. I'll tell you that this portion of the program brought to you by Crestview Country Club, getting you ready for a big night. Shocker baseball back in action, 6:15 against Oklahoma there tonight. Tommy, it's getting to be golf weather. We're going to have some weather to deal with this week, but we've got to get our little Crestview bet paid off here, where I owe you beers on the golf course because the Braves took the Rangers series. I don't know, time of day. Is this 18 holes? Do I got to pay 18 holes worth of beer here? Is it 9 holes? Like, we didn't come up with very many stipulations on this.
Yeah, I'm not going to accept, you know, just 9 holes. So you've got a couple of different choices. We can either play 18 holes and you can buy my beer, or we can just spend a few hours, you know, at the bar, you know, and do it that way. Either way, it's probably going to be the same amount of beer. So, you know, just depends on if you want to actually play golf while you're paying off that bet, or if you just want to, you know, sit and listen to me talk.
That's an interesting dilemma for me, because golf sounds great, but it's still that time of year where I'm not fully rounded into form. Maybe we pop up there, watch a Royals game.
Maybe we
pop up there, watch a Royals game, have a few beers. We'll do it.
You know, you could even, bar. I don't think my kids are old enough for this, but I think yours are. You know, you could even bring them along, and, you know, if it's the right time of day or the right day of the week, they've, you know, kind of got like activities and like entertainment and things like that, right?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
so like
you can, we get,
you can kind of like
just signed up.
Drop your kids off and like let them, you know, be taken care of.
Yeah, we're almost there. We're not quite there, but we did just go get them signed up. They're getting ready for swim team. That's been like the big thing for us, like the biggest thing. That pool, I've told you that pool. Well, the swim team like unlocked the competitiveness of our oldest daughter. So now we've got, you know, our middle daughter in there. And, you know, as soon as our son finishes learning how to swim, we hope this year he's going to be on there, because we did. Like, my wife and I are ultra competitive, and to sit and not have kids that were ultra aggressive, and we were totally unreasonable because they're way too young, has been hard. But then we get them, we did swim team, and our oldest, like, I don't know if it was the thrill of the race, and now she's pretty competitive at everything she tries. And it's like, you're all doing swim team. Like, everybody's going to do that so we can get out there and yell appropriately. We have volleyball tonight. Big volleyball matchup tonight, as we're in volleyball and soccer season right now, and about to be in swim team season.
So,
that'll be the three we're chasing.
Yeah.
Let
me ask you a quick swim team question, because I've never, okay. I didn't do swim team growing up.
I don't know how to swim properly.
Yeah, like I don't have any kind of knowledge about the world of swim team. When you go, because I'm guessing you go to like different pools for the competitions, right? Are you able to like lounge in the pool with a cocktail while you're watching?
No. And it's tough. You can get a cocktail, I think, if you want one, but you can't get in the water. So, you know, we get to the middle of the summer and it's
brutally
humid,
hot. Yeah.
And it's hot and it's early in the morning, but it's still, you're sweating and there's this pool just staring at you in the face.
Why can't they close off a portion of the pools where the parents just chill and watch the swim?
If you understood the rat race of a swim meet, it is like you draw on the kids so that people can help shuttle them to where whatever race and number they need to go to. You seriously take a Sharpie and you draw on their back or their chest or whatever to help find. It's wild. It is an experience. There are, you know, hundreds of kids and they're shuttling around and you got to get them lined up and get them in the water. And it, you know, they're running races and holy cow. It is a wild experience, but it's fun. We've enjoyed it. It's one of the things that we've probably enjoyed the most. So we did just get signed up for that, and we'll see how it goes. Our girls who have been in there have improved every race, every year, every everything. So
I promise you, there would be a higher level of participation in swim team from a parent's perspective. They would want their kids to be involved if they could actually get in the pool and relax and hang out while the swim meet's going on.
It ain't
going
to happen. You'll get there. Once your oldest gets of that age and you do it, you'll see why it's – well, it doesn't matter if you encourage it. Your wife will encourage it.
Why?
Your wife will – because everybody's doing it. I mean, if everybody else is doing it, you know, you got to do it. It's just the way it is. All right, we'll come back. Hour number two, we'll start it with some Royals talk when we return on Sports Daily.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.